heard of Wilbur Williams. He's not famous or rich. Still, Williams received an honor normally reserved for the connected, the powerful, and the wealthy. On December 2, 2004, the city of Chicago designated a street as Wilbur Williams Way. The honor was for a recognition of his retirement. That sounds nice, if we all like that, maybe. So what if someone as unknown and ordinary as Williams do to deserve such a tribute? Well, the question becomes even more compelling when you realize for nearly 40 years, he, Wilbur Williams, worked at a women's athletic club as a doorman. Now, normally in Chicago, an honorary street sign, which I thought was interesting, goes out to people who get the door held open for them. But most certainly not to the one holding the door. So what set Williams apart? He's carried out his duties in an exemplary fashion, at least as of 2004, police officer Paul O'Donnell said, "In all these years, I've never heard him speak a harsh word about anyone. He's a gentleman. Through his kindness and service to others' friends, Williams made an impact on those who he met entering and leaving this athletic club, as well as those just passing by on the sidewalk. Commenting on why he's always helped tourists by pointing them in the right direction, Williams said, well, if I was in a different city, I'd like someone to help me, which warms my heart considerably as a blind person, especially going into unfamiliar environments. Nice to know people are rejoicing to help out there." Well, the article concludes in the Tribune, "Having a street named after you is impressive." And this is in the Chicago Tribune, mind you. But how much greater the honor God promises to give to those who serve him well, an eternal inheritance which will never spoil or fade away. Friends, service, a great term the brethren often use, and we've talked about it some in the last few weeks. All kinds of service, active service, quiet service, big deeds, small deeds, great works, little random acts of kindness. And also there are so many ministries for people to serve. In Black Rock's history, we've had some serve at the denominational level in Brethren Volunteer Service, Brethren Disaster Ministries, and Brethren Disabilities Ministries, just to name a few. If you've served in a denominational service in some way, I was just curious, would you raise your hand so people can see that you've done that in your lifetime? What a blessing for your serving, but thank you. In our Southern Pennsylvania district, we serve wonderful organizations like the Brethren Home Auxiliary and Board, that we mentioned today, Children's Aid Society, the Truck Stop, and the Ministry of Camp Bader. And in our local community, we serve the Hanover Area Council of Churches, the Manchester Senior Center, and Lutz Terrace. I know several are involved in those organizations. But the truth of the matter is, friends, we are all a minister, a servant, wherever we're at. We are a servant called to minister. God has used us. You can bless and be blessed. Period. As I think about servants in this congregation, of course, I can't help thinking of Eugene Myers, who we talked about him before, who stood at that door back there, just like the doorman I talked about earlier, and greeted people every Sunday morning with a smile or a handshake. "Good to have you here. How are you doing?" Those were a couple things I remember him saying to me. And that was only for the 5 years I was here when he was here on a regular basis. And I can only imagine the encouragement it must have provided, that spirit of joy from him for 30, 40 years. But friends, all kinds of servants exist in and out of church. So many opportunities to perform service are there, right there. How do we do it? What does it mean to actually serve? And, you know, as I was considering the Beatitudes from Matthew this morning, I couldn't help thinking, as familiar as that story is, what a wonderful recipe for service in our Christian walk, isn't it? What a chance to think of ourselves last and others first, as Jesus says, right? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Service isn't popular or perfect, nor is it always pleasurable or even pleasing. In many ways, service can be quite painful, sometimes really annoying. You're serving people you really don't want to. Sometimes it involves patient planning. Sometimes you have to be very persistent, and just your presence with someone can make a difference. And it's much needed, even if they don't know it. Some service may seem like a lot of work, but in the end, what great blessing you will receive somehow. As I think of service over the years, though, in my life, I'm stunned how often I've benefited from Jesus' words to his disciples as I read them over and over again, preparing for our message this morning. Yet, I'm distressed to ask these questions. How often have I realized my work should never be about me? How often have I looked to take credit when many times the credit is not mine to either give or take? How often have I failed to allow someone else to help me so they can be happy and blessed? How often do I need to win an argument, or can I just let it go and know that relationship with someone is more important than on me being right? Big questions, friends. And I don't think I'm alone in asking some of those. During a commencement address at his alma mater, Northwestern University, the comedian Steve Colbert offered some wise words for life. After I graduated from Northwestern, he says, I moved to Chicago and did improv. Now, there are some few things you need to know about improvisation, but one of the greatest things I was taught early on is you are not the most important person in the scene. Everybody else is. And if they are the most important people in the scene, you will naturally pay attention to them and serve them. But the good news, you're in the scene, too. You're in the scene, too. So hopefully, to them, you're the most important person, and they will serve you as well. No one is leading, you're all following the follower, serving the servant. Service, friends, true, authentic service is a blessing from God, and we hear Jesus tell the disciples such a fact. His followers, his servants, they are blessed. They will gain a reward, a great reward, if they just look to him and follow his instructions. What a great recipe for service. So, let's take a look at these blessings of servanthood from Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor. Now that generally means not wealthy or having much money anyway. But poor in spirit also could mean those whom society has deemed unfortunate are truly blessed in God's eyes. It also could mean those who have no reason in this world for hope and joy. Those who have been deprived somehow of their fair share of goodness and justice. These are the ones who will gain God's kingdom and God's justice. Incredible gifts through Christ. Similar to those Carol Hinkle talked about last week here at the Council of Churches ministry, and whom the Radiothon describes as they raise money for those persons last weekend. Blessed are those who mourn. Friends, we all mourn at different points, don't we? But in this case, Jesus Jesus describes those who walk in a deep sadness in the world, but stay rooted in Him somehow. Those who ache for a world where total justice and equality are there for all, and who continually are saddened over such struggles to make it happen, and it seems to fail, and also people where everything in the world seems at every turn shattered, no matter what. Jesus says, you will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who may not speak up, whom society may see as weak, but who certainly offer a quiet, silent encouragement. When they talk, people sit up and take notice, and still somehow they get pushed aside. Jesus says, those people will inherit the earth, a new life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For those who continually seek God's reign. For those who constantly look to do the right thing according to God and don't make fun of people, put them down, make light of people's makeup or other circumstances or behavior or personality traits. Those who continue striving to serve God and breathe right into a world where wrong seems okay, just fine, or even sadly, great. Jesus says, they will be filled with God's grace. Blessed are the merciful. Those who forgive without question. Those who have compassion, even when the world says hate them, forget them. Those who love and come together, even when the world says turn away or ignore. Jesus says, those who show mercy, they will be shown mercy. It will circle back around to them like never before in heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those who have absolutely no grudge, no guilt, no heavy burdens, no stress. Maybe that eliminates all of us. Well, maybe though it's a little deeper than that. Jesus is describing those who truly have been purified of their sins because they confessed Him as Lord and Savior and have given their lives to Him and repented for whatever's holding them back. Those who have been in some way redirected in their faith journey in a positive light. For those people also, Jesus says, they truly will see God at last. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who honestly seek to not argue. Seek to not argue. Those who bring people together intentionally. Those who have conversations rather than in any way create isolation. Create conversation rather than isolation. And those who possess a calm spirit, even when everything's going wrong and the world says, yell to get your way, stamp your foot, don't get pushed around, don't put up with it. Being a peacemaker does not mean, friends, being a doormat. But it does mean being an open door. Jesus says for those people, those peacemakers, they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. For those who stick up for the cause of Jesus, for those who advocate for faith and right to be done in a group and are made fun of because everyone else thinks the wrong way, the way not of Jesus, is perfectly acceptable. Jesus says, those people, they will be in heaven forever. And the last, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Similar to our last one, but now Jesus is talking directly to his disciples whom he's teaching throughout this whole thing in front of the crowds, remember, below the mountain. Hey, you're my chosen ones. You're the ones who are going to bear the brunt of all this persecution or these questions right now. You're the ones who are going to have to deal with people. telling you, I don't even exist. I'm not real. My power's not greater, even nothing. I have no standing. And guess what? The prophets before you and lots of people endured a faith journey question from others. So don't be surprised when you get it, Jesus says. But you just keep preaching my name, teaching my word, shining my light, sharing your love, showing my way, and I'll take care of you forever. So friends, how does this all tie to service? Well, in this world, we are disciples. We are those people Jesus is talking to and teaching today. When we're serving Christ, we should in the world be considered poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hunger and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure-hearted, peacemakers, persecuted, and insulted. Persecuted and insulted. Those last two hurt. But what a recipe as a whole for service. Certainly not a popular one by any means, but a blessed one in Christ. When we show true Christian love to somebody, friends, we should expect all of these instructions to be there at different points. Jesus never promised relationship, friendship, or connections would be easy, but he did promise if we work together on his team, we'll be good to go and we'll be drawn to him and we'll draw others to him, and together we'll be taken care of somehow. So in your walk, keep going. With your life, keep preaching his name. With the Bible as your guide, teach his word. With your smile, shine his light. By your willingness to do the big and small deeds, share his love. And by your genuine example, show his way. When you're insulted, somebody else will be there to pick you up. When you're concerned you've done wrong by doing right, be assured you've got a church family and most of all, a Savior helping you realize your treasures are stored up in heaven. It's not in vain. When you mourn the loss of some kind, no others are there to comfort you. When you sin, confess. Admit you're not perfect. Try to do better. Make a concerted effort to not do it again. And feel the cleansing of Jesus and the Holy Spirit purifying your heart every day. Maybe ask some accountability from others to help you with that. When it seems you're the weakest voice in the room, we've all felt that a time or two, right? Be okay with that. Don't insist on your way, but know somehow your voice will be heard somewhere along the line. Maybe God's telling you through this whole process to move on from that group of people, that workplace, those so-called friends, those even sadly, quote, Christians. But you'll have an impact, a positive one on them, eventually, even if you never see it happen or they never realize. Friends, Jesus is with you. Do what you can to bring peace to a room with your love, his love. Don't yell or lash out if you can possibly help it or avoid it. You can still get your point across another way. And who knows? It might be made even stronger through that approach. If we mix all these instructions, the Beatitudes of Jesus together, what a wonderful recipe for service. A recipe for Jesus to be shared in all kinds of ways in the world. And to know his servants are taken care of partially now, but fully forever. Truth is, dear friends, service doesn't have to be big. It can be quite small and still make a huge difference. And what doors can open? You never know. As we close, I'd like to share this with you. At Olive Garden, I go there a few times? The slogan there is, when you're here, you're found. When you're here, you're found. Wouldn't that be a wonderful slogan for the church? And the one Christmas day, or Christmas season, I wandered into Olive Garden and, quote, my table was gone. It was busy, and I was annoyed. Another 10 minutes just to get seated, and I was in a hurry. I had two other appointments that day. God, why in the world? Then I was seated, and this young gentleman served me. And I was still annoyed and didn't pay much attention for the first little while. And by the end of the conversation, the end of our meal, we were talking like I normally do to our servers. Just so fascinates me the work at restaurants that goes on with many different facets which need to happen so your meal can come out correctly. Hopefully. And as that server and I had a conversation, we exchanged numbers, and I forgot about it for 3 months. And in March of the next year, that would be last year, I thought I would text. And so began a year-long friendship that still would go strong with Brother Nick Payton. A friendship that opened the door all because of servanthood. A random act. And all because, miraculously, Nick was serving that day, something he almost never does. They just put him on that day because they were so stacked. Nick normally is a host. Everyone can serve friends. Everyone can be a servant. Everyone has opportunities to make a difference. Where is your chance to cook that recipe of service? In your life as you walk with Jesus, young or old, the recipe's there. Open the door. The next time you see it's there, cook it. Cook the recipe. Walk through the door. The world might think you're a mess, but in the eyes of Jesus and in the kingdom of God, you'll always be blessed. And why? Because simply, this recipe for service